Welcome to Courage Cocktail. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. Glad you could join us. I wanted to thank you all for your delicious and kind notes these past few weeks. The WRAL piece that ran about Courage Cocktail, and more importantly, the WCOM segment in that program, really was responsive. Your letters were terrific. I'm grateful to you and for your remarks on Facebook. Scotty Mason did a great job portraying our team here at WCOM and the work that Bill and myself do each week on Your Courage Cocktail. It's both humbling and inspiring to work with Scotty and his talented team. Now, on other press, the hashtag Fibered Up movie, now sold out, by the way, will premiere tomorrow evening at CAM. That is the Contemporary Art Museum based in Raleigh. That's going to showcase the work of Eric Abel and friends and his team to work on inviting and inspiring Google to come to the Raleigh Triangle region. I'll fill you in next week about the event tomorrow, and perhaps, if we're lucky, we'll bring some snippets along, perhaps a couple of them from the movie. Well, it's wonderful to be back live in the studio today. And do you remember what Courage Cocktail is all about? Finding new medicine for vexing problems. I was thinking about summer camps for our parents out there and how they are making plans now for the summer. That's when I realized that you all need to meet my friend Becky Jane, the founder of Creative Girls. She has a wonderful, delicious website. It is www.creativegirl.net. I met Becky back in March 6th, 2014, in Raleigh at a PKN talk. Now, do you remember what the PKN talk is? It's Pechacucha, and that is 20 slides, 20 seconds per slide per speaker. We do it all over the country, all over the world, and I try to go to a PKN talk at least once a quarter. Well, Becky Jane made a remarkable presentation at the most recent PKN, and she nailed her talk, and at that point in time, I made up my mind that you needed to hear her thoughts about all kinds of things. Let me give you a little bit more background. Creative Girl was started by Becky Jane, who is a wife and a mom of two daughters. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Two daughters, age 12 and 11, and one son, age 4. The first play shop was held in June of 2013 for girls from Raleigh, Wake Forest, and Apex, North Carolina. Becky is focused on serving people and honors the Earth's resources by choosing creative projects that upcycle and use and reuse locally sourced materials to limit fossil fuel and emissions in goods transportations. She prefers used to new in most everything. That is, except chocolate. Well, I could go on and on. I want to welcome you to our show. Thanks for joining us, Becky.
Thank you so much. And thank you for creating this opportunity for people through your courage. You bring people in and you create this amazing bridge so people can, where they're sitting right where I'm sitting right here, extend a bridge out and communicate and share their message and their heart. And the courage that it takes to do what you do is very inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me tell you, I think of myself as a simple frame. I have nothing to do with the star power that goes on here, believe me. But I want to talk to you about the work that you've done, you're doing, and you're going to continue to do. So perhaps the best place to start is I posted on our Facebook page a piece, also a television piece by WRAL, that's our CBS News affiliate for those among us who are not local. But it was Mr. Leslie's, is that right? Mm-hmm. Work, Bill Leslie's work on the kindness circles that you came up with.
Yes.
Let's start there.
Yes. Well, last year, Bill Leslie got in touch with me because he found out about a stealth, quiet circle called the Kindness Circle in Raleigh that we meet once a month and we create a sacred space for sharing so women can talk and be heard using a talking stick. And then we spend some of the time using our hands and creativity to generate acts of kindness using whatever resources we come up with for the particular project. And then those things are often given as random acts of kindness. But I don't really like to say random because they're very contrived. We're very thought out. We think out what it is we want to do. And I say that we're a stealth group because we don't do advertising. And we don't, when we gift something, we don't say that it's from us. Because I believe that when we receive something as a surprise and you don't know who it is, it's really it's like a big hug from somebody that you don't know. And perhaps the not knowingness inspires people to generate their own act of kindness, to pay it forward, as they say.
There's so many things that I want to jump in on this, but I try my hardest never to interrupt a guest. It's a little bit of a departure from current trends, but you may have to help our listener and help me understand, what is a talking stick? I've seen you brought one.
Yes, I brought our talking stick from Creative Girl, and a talking stick is used in Native American culture, Indigenous culture, and now today in circles. And I'd like to think that perhaps it happened this way, that there was a group of people thousands of years ago who were just all talking and saying all of these things, and there was no sense. And perhaps a woman stood up and said, "Whoever has this stick gets to speak." And then maybe that's how the talking stick was born. I don't know. I like to daydream about such things. But the talking stick, when the person holds a talking stick, he or she is able to have full presence of everybody around them and not be engaged in conversation. So that person can actually have the time and space that they choose, that they need, to speak from their heart and less from our head. And in our culture, we tend to live in our heads, you know, our thoughts just constantly. And with technology, it just makes it even more thought oriented. And so the talking stick is a grounding device, I believe. It's very powerful technology.
And I will post a beautiful picture of this. It's just stunning. There's these colorful pieces of cloth that drape the entire stick. And
this stick, we have several talking sticks that are in different groups that I'm in, but this particular stick is adorned by a ribbon or a piece of material from every girl who has come through the Creative Girl program. So we have about 30 beautiful girls who've come through the program. So we have a stick with 30 ribbons so far. So hopefully eventually we'll get where we won't be able to see the stick at all.
Well, we're approaching that. So let's talk a little bit about the stealth nature of the kindness circles in this group. How did you start, and why is it sustaining itself?
Wow. Well, kindness, if we go back to when we were born, our mothers and fathers gave us kindness right from the start. We wouldn't be here had they not. So kindness, I think, is an undercurrent, whether we actively live in kindness or not, but it is something that is innate to humanity. And I think when the kindness circle happened, or when it began, it's 3 years old now, I wanted to be part of a women's circle, and I wanted to be part of a group that consciously created acts of kindness, that thought about it. And I kept waiting for this group to find me, and it didn't in the way that I was looking for it. I thought that I'd find some person that had this group that I could just jump in and contribute. And I felt very not ready to be the leader, if you will. I'm not the leader, but when you start a group, many times the intention is set and you go in and you need somebody to speak and say what this is going to be. But I felt very not ready to create the Sacred Kindness Circle, and that not readiness spoke to me that my ego is in check and that my not readiness would allow me to co-create a expression in a kindness circle, to learn how to hold a sacred talking space for women, and to allow each woman to contribute her gifts and her talents and her ideas. And so the circle, while it started as a little seed in my mind, has blossomed to become something that is completely co-created now. And we meet every month and continue to do little things.
I think you started with small numbers, and now you're at a robust membership.
We started there on the very first circle. We had 8 women, And we average about 8 women a month that come, but we do have many more that are in our meetup now. And some women we haven't met yet. And if they're listening, you can come whenever. It's not one of those things that you join and you have to come every month. I mean, so many of us have so many hats and responsibilities and things that we have to do. This is about self-kindness as well as extending kindness. So it's a space that if you have time and you want to do that for yourself and for others, then you can come. So it's not like, oh gosh, now I have to go to the kindness circle. You know, it's it's very relaxing and it's a lot of fun. So
And listeners, you cannot see this, but our guest has not stopped smiling. So she's clearly dwelling in very, very special space. Well, let's now move into how the Kindness Circle gave birth to this creative girl work that you're doing. And we have a ton of questions about that.
Yes. Well, providing the sacred space for other women to share and to speak from their heart, it gave me an opportunity to do the same thing. I figure, yes. Right? My career up to that point, I had been in marketing and public relations for about nearly 18 years at that point. And I wasn't, although I did try to do acts of kindness in my work, I didn't feel full in my heart with what I was doing. And it felt like something was missing. So this, I feel it like a splinter in me that has become a pearl. And I knew that we needed more kindness in our lives, and I knew that creativity through the Kindness Circle was something that women and girls could relate to. And my daughters, who are now 12 and 11, but at the time, you know, the 3 years younger, kept asking me, well, when can we come to the Kindness Circle? And it was for women, and it really should be for women, this particular group. And so I said, well, not yet, sweeties, you know, not yet. And then as time went on, I recognized, well, I'm not in PR and marketing anymore. I'm not on a career path anymore. I was joking to Bill Leslie when he did the piece that when I was in public relations and marketing, I would think sometimes, where is the PR person for kindness? You know, where's that person? And when I saw the piece that Bill did, I thought, there she is. There's the PR person for kindness. And I hadn't even intended it consciously. It just happened. And I recognized that not only for women, the work that I do, it is very needed for girls. And I thought last April, I had an amazing experience with some women from the Kindness Circle, and they really nurtured me as I fleshed out all of these ideas of what I could create for girls that would be a sacred place for sharing, that would be creative, that would be fun, that would nurture kindness in girls, and also honor self-authenticity, which is something that is very lacking in our culture for girls. That culture tries to tell girls that they need other things in order to be complete, and I don't believe that. You know, they're completely, perfectly whole as they are. And this whittling away, I wanted to create something that would honor their wholeness, that would help to give them a forum for sharing and be with other girls that were being authentic as well.
Well, I could see that as extremely important at that fragile age where kids, particularly I see the middle school girls, and this is only from an experience of a mom of one, but you do know that age group, and it's true for boys too. I love the middle school ages because it's drinking champagne in a Dixie cup. Mm-hmm. There's 1 foot in grown-uphood and 1 foot in little girlhood, and it's just, you never know what you're going to get. And when you say this, I think about these camps as perhaps giving the girls safe space to be able to reveal to themselves and to their friends some vulnerability.
Yes.
And then have the confidence to say, this is what it feels like to be vulnerable here.
Yes.
Practice at it so that when we do move forward in spheres less friendly to people, and that they may have that behind them.
Yes. Resilience. Yeah. And that what they feel and think matters. And
So tell me, you're not from North Carolina, are
no.
you?
No.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from the Forest of Dean in Gloucestershire, England. Uh-huh. And we moved over here when I was a little girl. And we moved back and forth a few times. And I mostly grew up in upstate New York, but North Carolina has been my home for the longest amount of time in my life, for 17, nearly 18
wow.
years. So
I understand. The reason I ask that is that your sensitivity to culture may not be just purely American culture. It mm-hmm. may be Western culture. It may mm-hmm. be culture of 21st century. And I can't help but place this sense of the hero's journey and Joseph Campbell
yes.
and understanding that these quests that people take and are summoned to at all points of their lives require safety.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're building little safe spots.
Yes, absolutely. That's interesting. That's interesting to think of how many times I moved and felt, you know, going into a new situation, oh, here we go again. Where is safety? You know, my
exactly.
home was safety. Thankfully, I have amazing parents and we had a beautiful childhood. But moving that many times, you know, stepping away from close friendships and all that I knew to come up with the new and create the new, that's an interesting reflection.
Well, when I think about what you did and I think about distilling courage, it's true that you're paying it forward with respect to the generation that follows us. But there's always something fascinating to me that our listeners, both men and women, when they hear a story of an individual saying, I was in a career for 18 years and something changed.
Mm-hmm.
I did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to lose sight of our opportunity sometimes to rethink and to reevaluate and to contribute differently. Can you help our listener think about how did you absorb that change?
I still am.
Okay. That's a totally honest truth.
I became sort of deer in the headlights when I recognized in myself something that was not satisfied. And I didn't know what the answer was. And all my life I had been driven and inspired by goals and setting a goal and achieving it and making it happen. And I had a lot of prestigious career steps in my life. And knowing that those were not satisfying when the culture and when everybody I knew was saying, you know, you're on this great path, you know, and stepping off the path, people looking at me like, you are crazy, you know, added to my own vulnerability. And so I shifted from being career driven and focused on goals to responding to what was needed in my immediate community, responding to my own vulnerabilities and vulnerabilities that I see in my daughters and in my daughters' friends. And instead of saying, I'm going to go out and create this in the future, well, I do seed planting, but I don't make it goals. It's a blossoming. It's a nurturing experience. It's more feminine. It's an unfolding as opposed to the masculine side of me, which I honor and love and wouldn't be here without. But that was more direct and achieving and doing. And this is more blossoming and revealing. And within each of us, we have that choice to look at how we are becoming in our lives. Are we achieving things and are we allowing ourselves satisfaction in them, or are we allowing things to blossom and then just reveling in that feeling of still not knowing, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but just feeling fulfilled in each moment. And right now I'm focusing on each moment. And there are a lot of vulnerabilities in that. And that's why I love your forum here and with Courage Cocktail, because courage isn't about getting over your fear. Courage is about doing things anyway. I wished a few months ago that everything that I did, I didn't feel so much anxiety and fear. And I kept thinking, well, the more I do it, the less courage I'm going to need. But that actually isn't true. It seems like the more courage I have to muster up to do something, the more important the work is.
We call this in our shorthand at our home reciprocal powers. And so you feed one and the other one grows strong in sometimes indirect ways. So we just choose to climb bigger walls, bigger mountains.
And just carry the fear, right?
That's right.
Turns into courage. You know?
I need to help me and our listener understand about a story or helping us understand from the perspective of a girl inside your camp. Mm. Tell us what she will experience.
Oh, wow. She experiences a safe place. Mm-hmm. We have guidelines that say you are not allowed to talk negatively about yourself or about others, and particularly saying negative things about yourself. It's hard for us as a culture not to berate ourselves or talk down about ourselves. So that's a rule, if you will, that you don't say negative things about yourself. If you create something that you don't like, you don't say, "Oh, that stinks." You know, you have to be creative in the way you respond to your creations. But girls who come to our program, they are given the safe space for sharing. We do writing prompts and journaling. In the summer play shop, we make a journal. And we do, within the journal, they can add to, for the other, I offer play shops every season is my intention. And so each season I do one, they can add to their journal that they've created in the summer. And it's just a safe place for them to write about things. And they have, I have something that I can share.
Yes, please do.
The creative girls, I did this poem with them, which I can put up on my website because I think it's such a fun poem. But it's sort of like, if you remember the Mad Libs, you know, where you fill in the words. And the poem, it starts, I'll give the first two lines and then I'll share a portion of this creative girl's poem. But the method is I say these two words and then the girls or the listeners would write down the answers. So the first two words are I am. Two, then list two special characteristics. The next line, I wonder, something you're actually curious about, and you write that. And so we did this beautiful I Am poem last year, and this creative girl, I'm just going to share a portion of it. So, I am a creative and wondrous person. I wonder if life is all a dream, and I am in the dream of a little child sleeping peacefully. I hear the child putting thoughts into her dream, making me walk, sing, dance. I see a child's sleeping face in my head, sleeping soundly. I want to be able to figure out if my life is a dream all in one night. I am a creative and wondrous person. That's just a portion of a poem, and the girl who wrote that is 11 years old, and I'm grateful to her for letting me share that with you today.
And it gets me in my throat because, you know, it's so, you've installed this, or instilled, forgive me, a deep curiosity about awareness.
Yes.
Inside awareness.
Well, children have that. We all have that. We learn to suppress that.
Sure.
Children, especially this age, they're coming into a choice whether they can choose to give away who they truly are to please other people or whether they can stay strong and radiate in who they are. It's a choice. And as I got older, I radiated somewhat in myself, but I made some conscious choices to step away to please others instead of myself. And I think that's one of the motivations that I have in my programs for girls is that they, if they don't know what radiates joy for them, that's okay. But if they know that they hang on to that and they use that in times in life when things aren't going the way they want it to, or when they're, you know, when life is not serving them in a way they want it to, that they have these creative outlets. They have that already in them. What the world needs, I believe, for healing is more presence, less utilization of world resources, and more presence where we listen to each other, where we just simply are, you know. And while my camp is very busy, we do lots and lots of things, we do have that time. We try to get outside and we have that sacred time and space that girls need, that our society doesn't have a lot of opportunities for that.
Well, what I find so attractive about what it is you're doing is what I know about people, that when they feel safe and they feel listened to, the amount of relaxation and stress just goes down a notch. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't want to hear this, even if it's not necessarily the best news, mm-hmm. when you know you will be listened to, it seems to me that that is a perfect antidote to helping us understand how we can constructively move forward.
Yes.
And that's true with girls, it's true with men, it's boys, women, all of us humans. So I could spend all day talking about this, but I'd like to ask you a favor.
Sure.
I'd love you to cue up this wonderful song.
Yes. Well, during the play shops, one of the things that I love is music. I minored in classical singing in college, and that was my big joy, but I minored in it, so I learned my lesson. But the song, I play the music during Creative Girl, and we always play India Ari, her latest CD from last year called Songversation, and this song is called Just Do You.
Take a listen, Gail.
WCOM, your all-volunteer community radio station in Carrboro, needs your support. Do you have an idea for a radio show? How about an interest in engineering or a computer background? Are you interested in fundraising or just meeting a group of wonderful people? Please consider a donation of time or money to support this gem of the community. Our website is WCOMFM.org. To make a financial contribution, please click on the donate button at the top of the main page of our site. Again, please visit our website, WCOMFM.org, and enjoy.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail Radio Show. I'm your host, Leanne McClymont. You are listening to WCOM FM 103.5, your community-held radio station here based in the heart of Carrboro, North Carolina. I'm so grateful you joined me today. In case you missed the first half of the show, we have invited Becky Jane, the founder of CreativeGirl.net. Now, usually we move into a second portion, and I have a wonderful Dr. Kathy Groover portion of our program coming up, but I have begged Becky to stick around for a few more minutes, trying to squeeze a few more ounces of kindness and wonder. And Becky, I wanted to do another shout out, of course, about your website. It is www.creativegirl.net, and your workshops called Play Shops with Summer Girls, where you can do registration online for the months of July and August, yes?
Yes.
But you've got to lead us out. Give us a wonderful quote.
A quote that I used to put as my email tag years ago before I was really doing this. It comes from Howard Thurman. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And I would look at it every time I sent an email to somebody, and I just kept asking myself, what makes me come alive? And I feel the most alive I've felt ever now.
And that is a beautiful way of encouraging us. Let's keep on sipping this courage cocktail without abandon or with abandon. And most importantly, to know that there are people out there in the world doing things like this. You may not be local. You may be listening in some other beautiful town on the West Coast or up in New England or in our beloved Pittsburgh. We just wanted you to know that consider what's out there. Look into your community. Look into what's happening to support creativity and to support children and girls, of course,
Kindness. I mean, you don't have to start a business for kindness. Just make it your business.
An ambassador of one and see what happens.
Oh,
Becky, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you,
us. Now, I'd like to, at this point, thank our sponsors, who are the Triangle Swim School, Cary, North Carolina, and North Raleigh, too. Learn more about their programs at www.triangleswimschool.com, and also Authors Boutique, a company that helps with all things publishing. You may learn more at www.authorsboutique.com. I get to cue up a wonderful caboose for your courage cocktail. We are working with Dr. Kathy Groover in the next segment. Kathy came on our program in 2012. So this is a encore performance. She has been busy as all get out. I invited her in to share and help brew this courage cocktail. In addition to kindness scented, I also realized that this time of the year, and it's true a lot of the year, but we have many people going through graduations, going through finals, going through tests. Our kids are getting all ready for the end of year school tests. And I figured it might be wise to ask Kathy for some advice about de-stressing our environment. Let's listen to what she has to say. And she's a fast talker, so open up your ears. Thank you.
Welcome to Courage Cocktail. Thank you for joining us. It's Kathy Groover on the line.
How you doing?
It's great to hear from you. I'm doing fine.
Good.
Kathy, you know, you were here. This is an encore performance for you, but it has occurred to me that spring brings with it many, many occasions of high stress. So I was hoping thing after you give us a little update on what it is you've been doing over the past few months. Could you help us by sharing your insights into some great stress management techniques?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, my life has been so rich. It's been so exciting. You and I were talking off air about the trapeze that I've been doing, but we'll talk about that later. We'll tease everyone with the trapeze talk. My latest book, Conquer Your Stress with Mind Body Techniques, just won the Beverly Hills Book Awards. So I'm very, very excited about that. The TV show that I was just about to film the last time I was on your show, I think, or had just maybe finished, is in post-production, and fingers crossed that in the next 6 months will be on the air. So we're very excited about that. I'm studying to be a hypnotherapist because I didn't have enough letters behind my name. So I thought I'd add one more thing. You know, just another method of helping people. And, you know, my massage practice is thriving, and I'm writing a lot of articles and going all over the country doing public speaking and just spreading the message of health and encouraging people to be better and make better choices. And it's just been, it's been an amazing ride.
I am thrilled when we get an opportunity to bring back guests because it allows our audience to kind of touch base and check in with each other and say, wow, you know, it's been a while. So can you give us some insight into stress?
Yes, this is a high, I mean, it's going to be a high stress time all year round. It just is, you know, and one of the things that I equated that to, or said, you know, was a contributing factor to this is the internet, as silly as that sounds, because, you know, information's moving at the speed of light now. So rather than us having to wait a week to hear what's happening in the Ukraine or wherever it's happening, it's lightning fast. And someone asked me the other day if I think the internet is increasing our stress. I think it absolutely is. Everything from Facebook and trying to keep up with things, again, at lightning speed, but also we're getting news from around the globe that we wouldn't have had as fast. And I think that's an influence to us. I think that is contributing to our stress because we're feeling that global stress. We're seeing pictures, you know, right at the moment that the tornado hits or right at the moment the bomb goes off. And I think that's good because we're informed. But, you know, I also want to caution people to not overload with all that stressful information. You know, even Dr. Weil talks about doing a news fast. Turn off that TV, put down the newspaper, don't look at those images. It can really mess with your psyche. And not saying people should be ignorant, but, you know, if you've got CNN blaring all day long with all this tragedy, it's going to give you a stress response, and it's going to, at some point, start to degrade your health. So look at positive things every once in a while. Leave the news alone for at least a couple minutes.
Well, okay, let's talk about then stress as something that could be contagious.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the things I'm seeing. And, you know, someone asked the other day, you know, we're looking for things that are contagious you wouldn't think about. And I responded to him, and I said, stress. He loved it. So we ended up, I did a little blurb for this great article. But yeah, it is true. I mean, laughing's contagious, sneezing's contagious, yawning's contagious, and I'm going to throw stress in there. When you're around someone who's upset, mm-hmm. who is conveying a story to you that is sad or upsetting or stressful, your body starts to respond to that. And it was very funny when I studied at Harvard, the first time I went there with the Benson Henry Institute for Mind Body Medicine. We work with these little things called biodots, which are so much fun. I use these in all my lectures. It's a little temperature sensitive device, kind of like a mood ring. And I was wearing mine. It was bright blue, meaning I was relaxed as I could possibly get. And I called back to California to have a conversation with my husband before I went to bed. And he was upset because he thought the cat was sick. And he was asking me questions about the cat, and he was getting more and more upset. Now, I wasn't upset. I wasn't feeling stressed. We weren't yelling at each other. We weren't mad. But I noticed as this conversation went on, I'm looking at my dot and it's fading. It went down to green, to this kind of ucky yellow, to this grayish color, which indicates a stress response. And I finally told my husband, I said, look, I have to go. You're turning my dot black. Which of course confused. He's like, I don't know what that means, but okay. I got off the phone with him and I did just a short, what I call a mini meditation, just 2 minutes of it. And I opened my eyes and looked, and my dot was blue again. And I was so stunned, Leanne, because I wasn't stressed. I didn't feel stressed. I would have had you asked me, are you stressed right now? I would have had no idea. I was stressed just from listening to him from 3,000 miles away talk about the cat that he thought was not feeling well. So imagine then what's happening if we're in a room with people who are arguing, or if we're watching something violent on TV, or if a friend is sharing a really tragic occurrence that she went through. We're going to have a small stress response from that. And again, the stress response, it's depleting our immune system. It's giving us a foggy brain. It's, you know, we're not, raises our blood pressure. We don't digest food as well. We're not having a sexual response. Stress is detrimental to so many levels of our health. So anything we can do to keep that stress response at bay, because we can't control the stress, we can control the stress response, that's going to be key to our health. We have to take control of that.
Well, there's this level of sneakiness that I hear in that story that you may not even be aware of it, but your body is being bolted silently into the stress period or activity. And now it's our job to somehow, A, realize that, and B, do something about it. What do you do?
Three things that I really think are just key to stress relief, because they're things that are simple to do. They're free. They don't have side effects. You don't need a prescription. The worst thing it's going to do is relax you a little bit. I mean, like, that's the biggest side effect is, oh, you're going to feel relaxed now. I'm a big fan of affirmations. I love using visualization and the mini meditations because, you know, I'm from the East Coast. I walk fast. I talk fast. I'm very type A. I'm go, go, go. Don't tell me to sit on a pillow and still my brain and quiet my body. I'm doing hip hop and trapeze to relax. Sitting on a pillow is not going to do it for me. And the mini meditations are so simple. It's simply concentrating on your breath, the in and out, the rise and fall of your chest. And on the inhales, you repeat to yourself, I am. And on the exhales, you repeat, at peace. Inhale, I am. Exhale, at peace. You can do this anywhere. And that's what's so fabulous about it. You can do it standing in line at the post office. You can do it waiting for the traffic. I was waiting for a flight from somewhere back to Los Angeles so I could get home, and it was delayed. And then it was delayed again. And no, the plane wasn't going to work. I was going crazy. And I texted my husband and I said, you know that face I make before I freak out? I think I'm making that face. And he wrote back, do a mini. Oh. I had completely forgotten. It's like I forget, you know, I write about it extensively. I forget we have these tools. So something as simple as that, or an affirmation. I am calm and in control. I am healthy and well. I fall asleep quickly and easily. I am prosperous and abundant. You know, is it actually bringing money to you when you say I am prosperous and abundant? There's a whole school of thought that says it does. But at the very least, it's decreasing your stress response. You're going to be reacting better to things. So stuff like that is just, it's so important, I believe, to do this kind of stuff. And again, it's free. You do it yourself.
What do you think we should be teaching our kids who are now approaching finals, who are taking SATs, who are doing all of this, you know, major significant testing? Do you have any insights?
Yeah, I think one of the best things they can do is do a mini before the test, and that I am at peace. And I know that sounds really simplistic and almost sort of silly, but when we're in a stress response, our cognitive higher brain functioning is not working because the stress response was made for an actual physical threat. That's us running from the bear. That's the cheetah chasing the gazelle. You're not in the middle of that doing complicated math or looking for quippy vocabulary. Your brain is simply in survival mode. And we're the only species that has the ability to induce stress with these mental things. We're the only ones that can think ourselves into stress.
I didn't know that. Humans can think themselves into stress, but no other animals can?
Nope. Because they don't have that brain function. They're not imagining, you know, the cheetah doesn't come back to the group and ruminate over the fact that he missed that gazelle because that other cheetah didn't talk to him that morning because he was depressed about how his hair looked. And, you know, they're not thinking about that. They are eating, they're drinking, they're having sex. That's what the cheetahs are doing. They're not imagining stress. If they're having stress, they're truly having a physical stressor. They're injured, they're in labor, they're hungry, they're looking for dinner. That's right. What the stress response was for. But we have the ability to imagine stress. So if I had all of you think about the worst day of your life and really feel that, we're putting ourselves into a stress response. No other animal does that. So if you're stressed about going into your finals, if you're stressed about that interview with the college, the admissions board, if you're stressed about writing that essay, you're not going to perform as well. Same thing with sports, same thing with acting, same thing with writing. So before I do any of those things, I do a mini meditation or an affirmation. I am eloquent and well-spoken. Say that over and over again, because it does make you more eloquent and well-spoken, but it also stops that stress response, which is going to make you more eloquent and well-spoken. So just something that simple. It's so weird, Leanne. I have so many clients who, you know, they have children who are about to be college age, or, you know, that junior, senior year in high school. I'm seeing so much pressure and so much confusion with these kids. I feel so bad because I only had so many options. You know, it was assumed you go to college, period. There was no gap year. There was no go to the community college and get the prerequisites out of the way. You either went to college or you didn't go to college. I mean, those were pretty much your two choices. You went to trade school, you went to college. And I'm seeing kids faced with so many choices and so much pressure that they're pretty much putting their sleeves over their hands and waving their arms and going, I don't know. And I see a lot of them just frozen with fear and stress and inactivity. You know, at 23, they still don't know what they're doing and they feel so much pressure from their parents and society. Step back and take a breath. You know, you don't have to know right at this moment what you're doing. And I can hear all the parents going, oh, no, don't tell them that. I've watched friends of mine, because when I dance, a lot of them are in they're in college and they're about to graduate college and they're absolutely freaking out because they don't know what they want to do with the rest of their life. And I said, you know, I've done already 15 things with, quote, the rest of my life, and I might have 15 more. There is no one straight path to success. There is no one straight path to your future. And doing something that you might have never expected might lead you to that next fabulous thing. So I so encourage them to try not to stress about it and just relax and breathe and, you know, it'll work out. It'll work out.
Well, all right. Now tell me a little bit. We were talking in the beginning when you were saying to me, Leanne, I've been doing a lot of stuff. One of those things have to do with flying trapeze.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm having fun. I'm having fun. And I had a client, she was a brand new client, and she said, I get the impression that you do a lot of sort of adventurous things. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, I've been spelunking and rappelling and ziplining and paragliding and parachuting. And I said, my husband and I scuba dive, so we've been swimming with sharks and we swam with dolphins. And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, what's left? Do you have anything left on your bucket list? And I said, well, I don't really believe in a bucket list, clearly. I said, if there's something I want to do, I go do it. Mm-hmm. I said that the traveling around the world might have to wait for more time and more money. I said, but other than that, if it's feasible to do, I just go do it. She said, well, what in the world is left? What haven't you done? And I said, you know, I have always wanted to do flying trapeze. And as the words came out of my mouth, I thought, uh-oh, better get on it. So literally, she's changing her clothes after her massage, and I'm online Googling where I can go do flying trapeze. And I found a place and I saw, you know, how booked out they were, and I'm booked out like crazy. So I went home that night and I said to my husband, over Easter break, I'm going to LA and I'm going to take an only child weekend and I'm going to go to Lake Shrine and meditate. There's this self-realization center down there. And I'm going to go to the Magic Castle, which is a private club we belong to. I said, then I'm going to spend the night. I'm going to get up the next morning and I'm going to go do flying trapeze. And he just looks at me because nothing I say surprises him anymore. And he goes, okay. So that's what I did. And this past Easter was my 1 year anniversary flying with them. So I've done, I think, 15 or 16 classes, and I've got 7 or 8 tricks under my belt and one emergency room visit. And
only one. You're good.
Only one and a sprained wrist. But you know, that was, both of those were my own fault. You know, trapeze is perfectly safe if you do it right. But it's so fun. And to flip off that bar and have someone catch you, you know, it is the epitome of trust and mindfulness and staying in the moment, because nothing else can exist. You are listening for your calls. You are putting your body in the right position. It has been probably the largest physical challenge I've ever put myself through. I'm in pretty darn good shape for the shape I'm in, to quote one of my clients. But you know, I've got my six pack back and my core is strong and my shoulders are strong, and I feel so incredibly fit and powerful. And I know so much of it is the trapeze.
Well, now, is flying trapeze something you do one-on-one? Do you do it as a team?
It's a class of 10 is the tops class. And there are some beginners and there are some more advanced people. And you take turns and you climb up and you practice your trick and then you fall into the net. And then you get up and you practice your trick and you fall into the net. And you do this in your rotation. And then the last half an hour is the catches. So basically the trick you're working on, the whole point of it is to do the catch at the end. So whether you're going from a split on the bar into the catch, or you're hanging off your knees into a catch, or some weird flip off the bar into a catch, that's what you're working towards.
Now, hold on. I don't even know what that into the catch means. Does that mean you catch another bar?
No. Okay. There's a guy catching you.
Okay.
So he's on, and this only happens, again, the last half an hour. You're just up there by yourself. You know, someone holding the ropes and doing all this stuff for you, supporting you. But yeah, at the very end, someone else gets on another bar across from you, and he swings and you swing and you do your trick and he catches you if all goes well. Or you miss and you fall into the net. I mean, you know, it's so cool. And the first time I made that catch, oh my God, it was just the most invigorating thing. There's nothing like it. And that has become, clearly I've been doing it a year now, my favorite adventure. I love scuba diving. That's definitely up there too. It's not quite as easy to do that, you know, as regularly. But oh my gosh, just, I love it. I'm totally addicted. And it's so funny because their slogan with Trapeze School New York, which I fly with them in LA, is forget the fear, fear the addiction. Which is totally true. So I walk around with that shirt on. Everyone's like, uh-huh.
I know that you are such a highly sought out expert in holistic medicine, in massage, in many, many of these topics that really kind of drill down into quality of an individual's life and our reaction to the very overstimulating and sometimes stress-inducing environment. But when I listened to you talk about this trapeze and that you go flying with your trapeze, I get a different cadence in your voice. I get the sense that this is where I am most fully alive.
You know, it's so funny because I get the same way when I talk about dance because, you know, I get that. And it depends on what aspect of the health that I'm talking about. When I talk about public speaking, it's the same thing. I did a talk this past weekend up in Ojai, and it was such a great group. And I was so high when I got out of that room. To me, it was the same as doing the trapeze without all the chalk on my hands. But it's the same thing. I mean, there's so many things that zing me. And one of the reasons I love talking about the trapeze is it encourages people to step outside their comfort zone and try something. And I've had so many people say to me, oh, that's so cool. You do trapeze. And oh, I wish I could do stuff like that. Go do stuff like that. You know, if it's within your budget and within your time frame, if that's what you want to do, go do it. But it's like, I want to step out of my comfort zone and encourage people to take risks, to stretch what you're comfortable with, to explore these things that are going to zing you. And, you know, I've heard so many people, oh, I'm too old to dance. No, you're not. No, you're not too old to dance. There are 60 and 70-year-olds in my dance class with me. It's never too late to try this stuff. So go for it. That was my motto in high school, and that's go for it.
Spoken as a true, true connoisseur of Courage Cocktail.
Totally.
You are brilliant. It is a joy to spend time with you. I will poke around and learn and find out for my listeners a little bit more about flying trapeze.
Yes, you should. Tell everyone. I mean, it's just, if it's not that, maybe it's surfing lessons, or maybe it's a race car driving class. There are so many things that can aliven us, and it's going into things with curiosity and vigor that keeps us alive. And my client who passed away at 105, until the day she died, was curious and interested and interesting. And that's what kept her alive that long.
I think you had something to do with that, Kathy.
Well, yeah, the weekly massage probably helped.
Thank you for joining us. You gave us just the right amount of information and energy. I'm going to shout out the alternativemedicinecabinet.com.
Perfect. All right.
Welcome back to Courage Cocktail. I hope you enjoyed that very, very invigorating conversation with Dr. Kathy Groover. Dr. Kathy Groover's website is it's www.thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And it's always a joy to have an encore guest come on and talk to us about what's going on and checking in. I also want to kind of cue up and get ready for the next few weeks here with Courage Cocktail. Well, do you remember how enthusiastic and how alive Kathy was when she was speaking about the art of flying trapeze? Well, I got to thinking, where could we, you and me, learn more about this? And guess what I found? Flojo, right here in the heart of Carrboro. So I went ahead and I've invited them in, and we're going to grab some natural sound. We're going to present their story about trapeze and for a local genius presentation. And I hope you stay tuned for that one. In addition, Cube is an architectural firm that has just finished a beautiful new home in the heart of Carrboro, actually down the street on Greensboro Street. And for listeners who are far away, I would like you to stay tuned for the show, too. You can see the pictures online. The architect is Jason Hart. And this house, when I saw it being built, grabbed my attention. It's finished now. He's going to come on the May 14th program talking about the house, but most importantly, talking about how architecture can shape spaces and shape the way families live. And I think that would be a very interesting conversation for all of us to listen to, those local and those beyond the Carolina Blue. In the third week of May, we will have a jazz trio here performing. The Alan Grossman trio will be here, and Aaron is actually going to come with a couple of his buddies, play some songs. It should be a lot of fun. We've booked guests now through mid-July, and I want you to all stay tuned. I appreciate all you've done listening and tuning into Courage Cocktail Radio Show. Keep writing to me. We don't need a TV piece to talk about what it is we learn on the show. I'm always open to new suggestions, new ideas, and I can tell by our responses on Facebook and social media, so are you. Thanks for listening today. This is Leanne McClymont from Courage Cocktail Radio Show. You bring the lunch, and I'll bring the Courage Cocktail.